As President Obama addresses a sharply divided nation, local activists call for change. Just ahead, a no-holds-barred conversation about Dallas, Black Lives Matter, and more as we take your calls. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and watch the show video on demand with our partner, TVJax.com. Just ahead, Ben Frazier of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in Jacksonville on race, gun violence, the police, and more. 549-2937. Then later, leading lights in the local nonprofit community shine at a special event. Plus, The Spectator with some ideas for your weekend. All of that and more ahead this hour. But first this morning, on Tuesday, President Obama tried to console the families of Dallas's slain police officers and ease the tensions of a restless nation.
And today in this audience, I see people who have protested on behalf of criminal justice reform grieving alongside police officers. I see people who mourn for the five officers we lost, but also weep for the families of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. In this audience, I see what's possible. I see what's possible when we recognize that we are one American family, all deserving of equal treatment, all deserving equal respect.
Obama was joined on stage by a slew of officials at that interfaith service, including former President George W. Bush, who lives in Dallas. The president closes out his second term amid lingering divisions over race, gun violence, and police relations. Those divisions, of course, are painfully felt right here in Jacksonville, where a series of controversial incidents involving police officers shooting unarmed civilians have sparked vigils and protests. Ben Frazier is with the local chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and he joins us now with his thoughts on Dallas, Black Lives Matter, and more. Ben Frazier, good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning to all of your listeners. I know there are millions of people out there listening.
I don't know about millions. I wish.
But well, we're glad to have them.
Well, thank you. And for those who are listening, we want your thoughts. In the wake of the shootings of the police officers in Dallas, the shootings in Baton Rouge and St. Paul that have sparked national protests, we want to know everything that you are thinking. Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show. We need to point out tomorrow, JSO Sheriff Mike Williams will appear on this program. Today, Ben Frazier, we are speaking to you.
You know, it would have been a better idea to have
you
on
both
with me.
Together. Yeah. I want to make that happen. In the meantime, you have sent a list of demands to JSO calling for systemic change in the way that they investigate incidents involving police officers who pull their weapons on city residents.
That's correct. There's much to be said about this. But we also need to understand the history of police brutality and violence directed toward people who are from Jacksonville. We can look everywhere else, folks, but it's time for us to take a close look in the mirror at ourselves. We have a system of investigating these police shootings, which is about as biased and as ridiculous a thing as I think we've got going on right now. You need to talk to the sheriff about why does he keep wanting to investigate the same people that he goes to parties and plays cards with and barbecues. Come on, guys. We don't go for that. We need to have an independent, third-party, impartial investigation. The sheriff needs to sign what is called a memorandum of understanding, meaning that every time a police officer in Duval County discharges a weapon, it should be investigated by the FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Independent. Why? Because these internal investigations are, number one, thankless, number two, always controversial, and they always lack credibility.
And we'll go to your calls for Ben Frazier of the SCLC in a moment at 549-2937. What then, Ben, are your thoughts about the fact that the sheriff has asked the FBI to investigate the shooting of Vernell Bing Jr.? He was shot and killed during a controversial incident in Springfield. There have been vigils at 9th and Liberty in Springfield since Bing's death. The sheriff's also authorized a pilot program for body cameras for
the
jail.
Well, let's take them one step at a time. The sheriff didn't ask for an FBI investigation. He asked for an FBI review. That's a big difference. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of how this goes down. If the Justice Department came in, they would take the investigation from A to Z. What the FBI will be doing is reviewing what the sheriff has already done. We keep going through these same internal investigations, and we keep expecting different results. Excuse me, but isn't that the definition of insanity? So will this investigation be any different than any of the others? No, I doubt it very seriously. What we get is, I thought he had a gun. He had a gun. I felt like my life was in danger. I felt like the lives of other people were endangered. So I shot. Oops, he didn't have a gun. Oops, he had his hands up in the air with people begging, standing around him saying, please don't shoot. But I ran up to him and I shot him. And anyway.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking to Ben Frazier, communications director for the local chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, on the deaths of police officers in Dallas, the Black Lives Matter movement, controversial incidents in Jacksonville, and much more. And we will go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937. And let's read some names. On the one hand, as you're pointing out, Ben, there have been a series of incidents over a period of years here in Jacksonville.
That's correct.
Of unarmed men who have been shot and killed by police, and there were never any charges for Vernell Bing Jr., a UPS worker named D'Angelo Stallworth, Samuel Evans, Keith Crowder, there are others. At the same time, let me ask you as well, during the president's speech on Tuesday in Dallas, President Obama made a point of mentioning by name the five police officers who were killed as they were trying to keep the peace during a Black Lives Matter protest in Texas. Lauren Ahrens, Michael Kroll, Michael Smith, Patrick Zamaripa, and Brent Thompson. On the one hand, there are folks like you, and you're wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, by the way, this morning. We've seen as a response to Black Lives Matter a competing movement supporting the police, Blue Lives Matter. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, well, let me try to get into this from a different position. Number one, the Black Lives Matter is, to some people, it represents a movement. I've heard Rudy Giuliani say something about it being inherently racist. I'm not going to go there. I'm concerned about black lives because a black woman raised me, a black man raised me, and I had black brothers and sisters, and I don't see any problem with me being concerned about black lives. Now, we need to mention that 66-year-old Ben Frazier, by the way, is not a terrorist, and I don't walk around saying I hate honkies. I believe, quite frankly,
I don't think that word's ever been used on this program until this morning.
Well, you know, you might hear a few more before it's over. I do not support prejudice or hate against white people from black people. I don't believe that the hate or prejudice against any group or people will create a harmonious and loving world. I try to understand that these strong, hateful feelings in the context of a very messed up history in the United States of America, a history of white colonialism, racism, racialized capitalism, imperialism that has produced what some people refer to as the hate that hate produced. In the words of Langston Hughes, what will happen to a raisin in the sun? Under a heavy load, it will explode. Folks, people are angry. We're not looking for an apology. We already recognize we're not going to get an apology for slavery. 300 plus years of blood, sweat, and tears and making this country what it is. But that's okay. Don't apologize. We get you. You don't want to do that. but you must acknowledge the existence of our own reality, our pain. We're upset. We have children like you. You have children. Aren't you concerned about yours? And if you say you're concerned about your children, does that make you racist? If you say you're concerned about their lives, their existence in the world, does that make you a terrorist? Get real. We love our children, and we want to exist in America, but we've got to call it like it is. The recent poll, CBS says, that racial issues, people feel really bad about this right now. It's a big deal. You got some people over here preaching hate for either white folks or black folks. Listen, I'm not down with that. I don't roll like that. I'm not about to hate anybody because of the color of their skin or because I stand for something with regards to my own particular politics. Hate is not what this is about. Being honest, grabbing the bull by the horns, and us looking squarely into each other's eyes and addressing the issue is what we need to do. White folks are angry. They say, listen, you guys, this is post-racial America. All you got to do is do what you need to do, and everything is great. And we're saying, hey, listen, racism still exists. White folks, and a lot of you, really don't want to admit that racism does exist. If you say it exists, you're never willing to say where. It's somewhere else. It's over there. It's not here. Thank God it's not in this studio.
I appreciate you saying that. We do our best to be fair on this program, and we want your calls now. Give us a call, 549-2937. Margaret is on the west side. Hi, Margaret. Go ahead.
Hi. I want to start off first by saying that my son was killed by a Jacksonville police officer in 2014. So,
who was your son?
My son's name is Thomas DeWitt Johnson, and there are some ambiguities on the events of the case. However, I, as a mother and a citizen of Jacksonville, of a person who's served in the military, a civil servant, I just decided to try to let the process play out. When my son died, I was in Kuwait. It took me 3 days to get back, and I refused to look at any media. The only thing I first heard was that my son was in a shooting with a Jacksonville police officer and that he had shot someone, and it took me 3 days to get back. And the only thing I could think of, I knew my son was dead. I just kept thinking of the two other victims of this scenario. And, you know, as I had to take the days to bury him, he was buried on June 14th, I refused to do anything but concentrate on burying him. On the 16th of June, and that would be 12 days after he was killed, I went down to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office for a police report, and it was brief. They had his name is unknown, the victim name is unknown, on everything. And I'm like, okay, an officer shot someone, my son's dead, another person got shot, and you have victims unknown. The officer told me she went on vacation. She said that she wasn't able to talk to the victim because he only spoke Spanish. And the little bit she did interface with the victim.
Well, Margaret, let me just ask, and Margaret, I'm so sorry to hear this. Let me just ask you, since in the interest of time, and what's the status of your case with your son now?
Right now, what I have is I've collected a lot of information, and I still am torn in half, like the country is, and trying to support the system, which I did believe in, and I don't know where I'm at on that, but they haven't done anything. I mean, I went down there and got four police reports, and all of them have been different. So there is no status. It is still in limbo. That's tragic. Someone died. Another person was shot, and an officer shot someone. Each of those collective groups deserve an answer more than 2 years later.
All right.
So all lives matter. Absolutely. So I just thank you for listening. I'm sorry if I rambled, but I do want you to know that I'm a mother, that I cry for Dallas. I cry for the mothers of people that have been shot. I am torn apart. I don't sleep well because of what's going on in our country. So yeah. As I say Black Lives Matter and I participate in the protest against officers shooting unarmed individuals or using excessive force, don't think I don't support our police officers, but our police officers have support. It's legislated. Their support is legislated. My son being killed, I mean, 2 years later, I don't even know what really happened. That's tragic. Yeah. And I thank you for taking my call.
Margaret, thank you for sharing that.
My God. You know, if that doesn't get to you, I just don't know what does. And we need to talk about transparency at JSO. And we need to understand that JSO has a long way to go. And apparently under the new administration, there's no progressive attitude. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an attitude. My organization, SCLC, is demanding that Sheriff Williams move immediately to end racial discrimination in all law enforcement operations at JSO. Empirical evidence shows widespread racially disproportionate application of the law.
Let me say as a follow-up, JSO is far from the only police agency that has resisted calls for an independent civilian review board. NPR reported last year that, for example, that some cities have moved ahead with this concept. Some have not, of course, like Jacksonville. Today, there are more than 200 civilian oversight entities around the country, NPR reports, but their power to investigate and punish officers varies. This is a patchwork when we look at this at the national level, and it has had mixed results. For example, today when federal authorities investigate a city's police department, one of the main things they insist on is a civilian review of complaints.
That's correct.
And that is essentially what you're asking for in Jacksonville.
Precisely. The president had a task force on 21st century policing just last year, and one of their action items was that local law enforcement agencies should have increased citizen involvement and participation by way of citizens advisory boards. We must note, however, that nationally and even statewide, police departments, whether they are municipal or county run, have not embraced that concept of increased citizen participation. They don't want you in there. They want to give you cookies and punch at Shatco here in Jacksonville. Some of you are familiar with Shatco. They're going to give you cookies and punch. But the real people, the man on the street, the girl on the block, they don't get invited to that party. You get a bunch of folks who live in other places who can't relate to these people and the people who are being shot down.
Let me ask you as well, those that are opposed to your idea, including Sheriff Williams, will be on this show tomorrow. Indianapolis is a city similar in size to Jacksonville that has implemented civilian review of police. A 2012 audit that was conducted on the effectiveness of this procedure found that there were serious restrictions on how complaints were filed, questions about whether the process might work well.
Right. Well, you know, understand that one of the things that we're looking at is citizen complaints and their filing here in Jacksonville, Florida. It is a position of SCLC that Black Jacksonville residents frequently report that the police disproportionately single them out because of their race. So we're demanding a complete review of the way citizen complaints in general are handled. Those complaints that allege police officer misconduct. We are concerned about the lack of transparency about what happens when a citizen files a complaint and how those complaints are investigated. We believe citizens' faith in JSO is so tainted, so damaged, that many of them don't even believe in filing a complaint.
Right. But do you believe that the sheriff opening the door, at least, to body cameras for the JSO will do any good in terms of restoring some of the public's trust?
Most certainly with regard to body cams and that being on tap for 2017, that's great. But what we need to understand is the sheriff needs to look at the broad spectrum of things that need to change from the historical perspective. And one of them is, understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about citizen complaints. Are you familiar with the process? I don't think anybody is. I think that you make a complaint. I think that whatever happens to it, happens to it, and nothing ever happens. We need to talk about reviewing that area of citizen complaints against the police.
And let's go to a few of your tweets and Facebook comments. A tweet from a listener: this man is speaking volumes for the reality of the black community. It's not that black lives matter over all lives matter. It's that black lives matter too. Here's a Facebook comment from Frank. We need to focus on the root of the issue, accountability. Law enforcement is not accountable to the community. Rather, they are accountable only to themselves. Citizen review boards and body cameras, etc., will help embrace this concept of true accountability. Let's go to Mike now in Jacksonville. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, good morning. I'm a middle-aged, 40-year-old white guy in Jacksonville, and I have to say I absolutely agree with your guest and the previous caller. You know, when we say Black Lives Matter, you know, we're not saying that other lives don't matter. I've got family and friends in law enforcement. I absolutely believe that blue lives matter. I believe that trans lives matter and gay lives matter and straight lives matter. They're not exclusive. You know, Black Lives Matter is bred out of a need for recognition that a certain group of people have been indiscriminately suffering for hundreds of years in this country. And, you know, it's not when I say save the whales, I'm not saying, you know, let's forget about all the other life in the ocean. You're saying this is the one that needs to focus right now. And I think that's really important. And I absolutely support what your guest is saying.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Aelda in Atlantic Beach. Aelda, thanks for holding you on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Your program, it brings up a lot of issues. And yes, Black Lives Matter. I think almost everybody's called and said all lives matter. I think people also need to take into consideration that these men and women that are in law enforcement, they're basically the ones that are on the street. They're at a low level of pay. They're under a lot of stress. And, you know, this whole let's get a review board and things like that, they do that for doctors. They do that for lawyers. And take a look at how that transpires, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Aelda. Yeah, I appreciate those thoughts. Okay, let's talk about that. At the memorial in Dallas, the police chief there spoke for his police force and police around the country in saying that the majority of the men and women who serve feel as though they are doing a difficult job without a lot of support or appreciation from the public. What's your reaction to that, Ben?
I think that there should be a full recognition of the fact that we know that police officers have a tough job. We know that they lay their lives on the line each and every day. But here's something else that we know. We know that they need more diversity training. They need to know how to approach a situation and not escalate the situation, but de-escalate the situation. We recognize...
Hasn't JSO started to do some of that training?
You'll have an opportunity to talk.
Yeah, I'll find out more tomorrow.
When Mike Williams gets here.
Yeah.
But we recognize there needs to be an attitude change, and that the problem right now is that in many instances we know that JSO is using unnecessary and excessive force, particularly force used against persons of color. It is a police culture. It's not necessarily a white police issue. It's sometimes black police officers are involved. It is a police culture that we need to address that needs to be changed. It has to be an attitudinal change for there to be a change in the pattern and practice that we believe of officers who work for JSO engaging in systemic violations of federal law.
One more call. Ronald in Jacksonville. Ronald, you're on the air.
Good morning. My name is Ron Lang. I'm in Jacksonville. And good morning, Mr. Frazier.
Good morning.
It's an opportunity that I'm grateful for to have the time to express my opinion.
Yes.
Now, being a black man here in Jacksonville, I have a son. I have a grandson, 8 months old. I have nephews. I have concerns because, you know, unfortunately, I've lived here in Jacksonville all my life, 63 years of age. I have been pulled over by police officers so many times that I've had my driver's license taken from me. So I've had several encounters with Jacksonville police.
Wow.
And fortunately, I have never had a confrontation that I could even put on a list that experience was a negative other than me having to pay for a citation. So I find that I have no beef with them, but I do know there are some bad apples in the bunch.
Well,
and I've just been blessed that I have not experienced that. But the opportunity that I wish I knew how to go about was to let the police know how appreciative I am of them and that there still is some house cleaning that they need to do. Because I have witnessed some bad apples. I have not experienced it on my watch, but I have seen it on my watch.
Okay.
Some bad apples just doing some things that I think were unethical.
All right.
And,
thank you, Ronald.
That's all I have to say.
Thank
we're
you.
We're not against the law. We're not against law enforcement.
Let me ask you your thoughts. The other day, Newt Gingrich, who may well be picked in a few days to be Donald Trump's vice presidential running mate, talked about Black Lives Matter. In an interview with CNN, he said, it is more dangerous to be black in America. You're more likely to be in a situation where police don't respect you and where you could easily get killed. And then he went on to say, it took me a long time and a number of people talking to me through the years to get a sense of this. If you are what he called a normal white American, the truth is you don't understand being black in America, and you instinctively underestimate the level of discrimination and the level of additional risk. It sounds a lot like your message.
I think so. I think that there are people who would seek to divide us as Americans. I think that there are people who would seek to divide us as people and to harp on our fears and to keep us separated. Look, guys, we want the same thing. You want a house, a little picket fence, used to be a station wagon, a dog goes by a while, guess what? I want the same thing. We got to make this right. I want my piece of the American dream. I want my piece of the American economic pie. We haven't talked about economics here, but there are economic injustices. 73% of the black children in America today are being raised in poverty. I'm telling you that people are angry. We don't speak the same language. It's almost as if we're from different planets. We got to turn this thing around. We got to be honest about the issues of race in this country. And we need to admit that, yes, racism does exist. And stop trying to make it look like it's black folks who are so racist. We don't control anything. We don't have policy control. We don't have privilege. Yes, black people can be prejudiced. They can be biased. And they can certainly discriminate against white folks. However, it's impossible by the definition of the word for them to be racist. But don't get stuck there. Let's get stuck on doing something about it and simply being fair. Let's let righteousness roll down like a mighty stream. Let's let justice roll on like a river. Let's turn this thing around. Let's be honest about it. Let's get real.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure being with you.
Ben Frazier with the local chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Tomorrow, for the full hour, we will welcome Sheriff Mike Williams with his thoughts on this topic. We'll be right back.
Goodwill of North Florida. Donate, shop, jobs. Good things from North Florida with Goodwill. Proud supporters of WJCT's First Coast Connect. GoodwillJax.org for more info.
As Florida school districts prepare students for success in a global knowledge-based economy, how does arts education factor into the plan? Join WJCT for Community Thread, the politics of arts education, as we explore this issue and how advocates are working to ensure that diverse perspectives are represented in the development of new arts policies. Log on to wjct.org/communitythread to submit your questions or to RSVP to be a part of our studio audience on August 4th.
Comedians are having a ball, I'll tell you what, with this election cycle.
The material is writing itself, which is a huge benefit because you can lay off your writing staff, they can collect unemployment for a while, you know, and you say, the material is writing itself, we don't need you for a while.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Larry Wilmore, next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Calling all educators, WJCT and Community First are proud to present the 4th Annual Teach Conference, an event created by teachers to engage, empower, and inspire teachers. Saturday, October 8th at the Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Tickets are only $30. Spend the day sharing ideas with colleagues, learning new ways to engage students, and empowering yourself to inspire others. Bring a friend and get your tickets now. WJCT.org/teach.
In the new film, The Infiltrator, Bryan Cranston plays a real-life undercover agent building a case against Pablo Escobar's empire.
What became my heroine was the ability to get information that no one else could possibly get.
Robert Mazur on the movie based on his life, later on All Things Considered from NPR News. Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Welcome back. Right now, we are pleased to welcome four leading lights in our community as we spotlight some of the winners of the Local Focus Lasting Impact Awards, recently given out by the Nonprofit Center of Northeast Florida. With more, we welcome Rena Coughlin, CEO of the Nonprofit Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Dr. Sherry McGill, president of the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund.
Hi, Melissa.
Good to see you. Duval County Tax Collector Michael Corrigan.
Good morning, Melissa.
And Dr. Susan Nussbaum, executive director of We Care Jacksonville. Hello.
Morning.
Wow, what a high-powered group. All together. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and I know you're wondering, why are they all together?
I know how hard it is to probably schedule the four of you all together. So right off the bat, I feel so privileged. Rena, let's begin with you. Tell us about Local Focus Lasting Impact.
Sure. Really, in the heart of the recession, nonprofits got together and they said, all right, what is it that we can do to control our destiny? And one of the key things that they came up with is we have to collaborate more. We have to honor collaboration and innovation, and we have to figure out how we as a sector hold that up as examples of best practices, not waiting for a funder to provide a grant to do it or for someone to tell us to do it. We're already doing this work. Let's talk about it. Let's share it. So that's where we came up with this Local Focus Lasting Impact Award, and or several awards. And this year's awardees are terrific examples.
Let's talk to the winners. Dr. Sherry McGill, president of the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund, you're an award winner. You had the vision to take the old Hayden Burns Library in downtown Jacksonville and completely transform it into this dynamic, beautiful center for local nonprofits. It has really been such an impactful change for Jacksonville and the nonprofit community.
Yeah, you know, it was a dream come true, but the real theory and practice behind this building, Melissa, in light of the recession, we know what a tough time nonprofits are having. Fundraising, we know giving is down. So we are determined to support our local sector. The building allows us to do that. It helps us drive down operating costs for tenants and for nonprofits that are looking to rent common space for conferences or whatnot. So we're very excited about it.
And all of these nonprofits under the same roof has, a synergistic kind of impact, too.
Absolutely. We have 19 tenants, 260 people working full-time in the building, and I think you can come there on any given day and see an enormous number of activities, but the people who are in and out of that building, from people who are served or pretty high-powered board members is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So we've seen a lot of new collaboration, let's say. This is a highly collaborative sector to begin with, but we just see new things, new connections happening because people share space.
We have some of that going on in our own building, too, with several nonprofits here at WJCT. Michael Corrigan, most people know you as the Duval County Tax Collector. But you are also an award winner for 1,000 in 1,000 Family Foundations. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, Melissa. I'm not really the winner. It's the work that we've been doing is the real winner in this. It's 8 years ago, I was asked to participate in a group of people from Duval County to look at poverty in a different way. And we spent the last 8 years developing a program that we think is not only doable in Jacksonville, but doable in every community across this country, where we look at helping people not giving them things, but helping them move from poverty to self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
It's been an excellent program to this point, and pleased to receive this recognition for the work.
Yeah, congratulations. And Dr. Susan Nussbaum, you run We Care Jacksonville. Your organization is the winner of the Collective Power Award.
Yes, and I would say it's actually an award for the Beaches Health and Wellness Program. And the key of that, the key word there is collective power. There's four organizations plus us that are working together to improve health, but in addition to that, improve the total quality of life for those who are uninsured, low income at the beach.
Yeah, and we touched on that a little bit in the first segment of this show today, Rena. The number of people living in poverty in this community, I don't think people realize how widespread an issue that truly is.
No, and I think it's terrific to highlight that particularly in this last couple of weeks, because I know that people are very concerned about economic inequality, but I also, you know, it's also a racial inequality that we've got to discuss in our community. And so one of the things Sherry was talking about, the sort of organic things that happen in this building includes a community meetings about race and violence that have been going on there. So these things spontaneously happen, not just in the sector, but in the rest of the community. And they're important ways that we show how collaborative and yet powerful we are, and that action can come out of these things. So I think that these two folks represent programs where many nonprofits and many citizens have come together to actually focus on economic equality and helping improve the overall quality of our community.
They are the winners of the Local Focus Lasting Impact Awards, and congratulations to all of you. By the way, WJCT has produced segments about all of these award-winning projects. They will air on our television show, Hometown. I don't have the air date yet, but you will all be on TV very soon. Let's just say that.
Which is fabulous addition to the award. You know, it's nice to be recognized, but, you know, a takeaway is awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and congratulations. You're all just contributing so much to this community. It's such a pleasure to welcome all of you. Rena Coughlin, CEO of the Nonprofit Center of Northeast Florida, Dr. Sherry McGill, President of the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund, Duval County Tax Collector Michael Corrigan, and Dr. Susan Nussbaum, Executive Director of We Care Jacksonville, the winners of this year's Local Focus Lasting Impact Awards. Kudos, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
And in a moment, the River City Men's Chorus and weekend events. Keep listening.
In the new film, The Infiltrator, Bryan Cranston plays a real-life undercover agent building a case against Pablo Escobar's empire.
What became my heroine was the ability to get information that no one else could possibly get.
Robert Mazur on the movie based on his life, later on All Things Considered from NPR News. Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Calling all educators, WJCT and Community First are proud to present the 4th Annual Teach Conference, an event created by teachers to engage, empower, and inspire teachers. Saturday, October 8th at the Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Tickets are only $30. Spend the day sharing ideas with colleagues, learning new ways to engage students, and empowering yourself to inspire others. Bring a friend and get your tickets now. WJCT.org/teach.
This week on NPR's Invisibilia, a crisis in Europe.
Rumors about Syria, that people were going to Syria.
So I thought, they call me terrorist, I will give them a terrorist.
And one Danish town's unusual and controversial response.
Please come, it's only for helping. I'll make you a cup of coffee and you'll see I'm a nice guy.
That's on the next Invisibilia.
Saturdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next episode of Hometown, Beth Sullivan, a.k.a. Mermaid Coral Beth, is a professional mermaid who teaches kids to use their talents to positively impact the lives of others. Jacksonville-based clothing designer Sally Kaiser shares the story of her mobile fashion truck turned brand, Sally Ann. Local entrepreneur Gwen Mims Minter shares the journey of her namesake salon, Gwen Mims. And Christina Fatuma Tasila is a Pan-African dance instructor who empowers women through music, dance, and spirituality. Hometown, Thursday night at 8 on WJCT Public Television.
Well, the River City Men's Chorus is performing at a very special concert this Friday night, and it turns out they've got a series of dates all through the month of July, and all to benefit a great cause, the city's police athletic league. Wayne Bailey's with the chorus. We're also pleased to welcome Lieutenant Lakeisha Burton of PAL. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. You know, in the first segment, we talked a lot about Black Lives Matter and local folks calling for change with the JSO. This is another aspect of law enforcement that we're also pleased to talk about, the positive work of the Police Athletic League. People might not realize how active it is with kids in the community, Lieutenant.
Absolutely. So what we do, we focus on areas that are highly populated with crime, and we are a safe haven for those kids.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Wayne, you made the decision that the River City Men's Chorus would do some benefit concerts for PAL.
I did. It's actually the River City Men's and Women's Choruses, and I lead music for Downtown Rotary on Mondays, and we had Sheriff Mike Williams come speak to us one day. Very impressive speaker, and somebody asked him a question at the end and says, what do you want to emphasize this year? And he said, I want to emphasize the Police Athletic League, and something in my head went ding, 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 and I went home and looked him up and found out all about him and called Lakeisha, and we met together, and it was a done deal.
And you're going to be performing Friday night, 7:30 p.m. This is concert number one for PAL this month at the Riverside Presbyterian Church.
7:30.
Here's a little preview, by the way, of how the chorus sounds.
God is going to trouble the water.
You guys sound wonderful.
Thank you.
How long has the River City Men's Chorus been in existence?
This is our sixth season.
Okay.
And in five seasons, we've raised over $45,000, so we're real proud of that. Nobody gets paid in the group. The director doesn't get paid. The accompanists don't get paid. All the singers are volunteer, and it's all for a good cause, and I'm very proud of them. We have some great members.
And Lieutenant Burton, the Police Athletic League is a nonprofit organization. You're in the business of raising money, just like all the others. How will the money be used from these concerts?
Absolutely. We're super excited. They will really offset the cost of the services that we provide to our kids. We provide education, leadership, and athletic programs for our children.
And so with all of that said, people can see the first concert this Friday night, 7:30 p.m., Riverside Presbyterian, as all proceeds go to the Police Athletic League. But Wayne, you have some other dates coming up through the month.
We do. We sing at Deer Meadows Baptist Church next Tuesday, and then next Friday we're at Lakewood Presbyterian Church, and on that Sunday, the 24th, we're at the Arlington Baptist Church. So we're really excited about the opportunity to sing for a lot of people. Hope you can go ahead and come out and make a positive contribution.
And the website is? River City.
Oh, goodness. River City Men's Chorus. They can find it there. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Wayne Bailey and Lieutenant Lakeisha Burton of JSO and the Police Athletic League. Again, come on out check out a concert, a series of concerts this month by the River City Men's and Women's Chorus. They are beautiful music makers, and we thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Again, that first concert benefiting PAL is this Friday night, 7:30 p.m. at Riverside Presbyterian Church, and lots of options for your weekend. From Shark Tank to Pokemon Go, here she is to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, the pokey crawl leading, Carrie Speckman,
okay,
here today.
Don't.
Now, wait a minute.
Don't get me started.
I'm going to jump ahead on your list here and tell you that Pokemon Go has taken over my house. Let me just be specific and say that it's taken over the younger echelons of our household.
Of your household. I have children, so many friends, and like very cerebral, intelligent people that I would never think
would play it.
I see people in Riverside all the time with their phones, just like
they're
going to
bump into walls. They're going to get run over by a car.
I've heard of people getting hurt.
I know.
Like falling, and people are just walking around like this, and then people, I hate when people say, are you playing Pokemon? I'm like, no, I'm using my phone.
which you are known to do.
Like a normal human being.
Now.
No disrespect.
Saturday night, instead of a downtown pub crawl, there's going to be a downtown pokey crawl. I think Lieutenant Burton might have to watch over the safety of these folks.
Okay, where is
that? According to your list, this starts at Burrito Gallery in downtown Jacksonville.
Yes, and I think what they're going to do is a tour around downtown looking for lures.
Oh, really?
And gyms. That's what they're called. Pokemon stops, Pokemon gyms. I don't know.
We're not familiar with the specifics.
No.
Let's just hope that they all get out alive. That's really my only thought.
Exactly.
Okay. Friday through Sunday, it's Ancient City Con at the Prime Osborne.
That's another one of those like Comic-Con kind of things.
Sure.
They have like cosplay and costume contests. And they have very specific rules about the weapon.
Will there be anyone dressed up as the character of The Spectator? That's really all I want to
know. I don't think that I'm quite at that level.
You should be your own character.
That's a great idea.
I want a comic book featuring the life and times of the superhero of Jacksonville.
I don't know that I've done anything heroic yet.
I don't know about that. I could make the case. I could make the argument.
Okay, well, whatever you want
to
do.
I didn't go to law school, but I could make that argument.
But you did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express.
Okay, so that's Ancient City Con Friday through Sunday at the Prime Osborne. And
yes.
Then after you check that out, there's going to be a food truck rally this weekend.
This is
cool.
It's at Academy Sports on Atlantic, and it will be 13 food trucks, which, you know, a lot of people travel around. That's 13 right in one place.
Yeah.
So that's great. And they'll have a cash bar, which is interesting, and they'll have fun for the kids.
This is at Academy Sports on Atlantic Boulevard.
Correct.
All the best food trucks in town. Meanwhile, also Saturday, the guy from Shark Tank is in
Damon
town. Damon John.
He will be doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble in St. John's Town Center.
Do you watch that show?
I've seen it a couple times. I'm not a diehard fan or anything. But
there's like a rabid fan base for that show.
Oh, totally. And
yeah.
I think, what did I say his book was called?
It's called The Power of Broke.
I know, and I read the
I've been broke, and I did not have any power.
I am broke, but it's about taking your weaknesses and turning
them into strengths.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so he'll be there doing books. If you buy the book there, it's free, but if you buy the book there, he'll sign it for you.
All right. Now, there's a bunch of other things on your list, but we're almost out of time, so I have to ask you, who in the heck is Tonka, and why is it?
What?
I don't know
Tonka's
anything about Tonka.
Tonka's an unofficial alligator snapping turtle of Mosh.
Really?
Only his 50th birthday. I mean,
isn't
it's
that
not like
two in turtle years?
That's a great question. I should have looked that up. But they bring him out once a year to weigh him and just do a medical checkup. So it's the only time anybody gets to see him up close.
How big is he?
I don't know.
Do we know this?
A couple. I mean, I want to say close to 200. Like, he's huge.
Yeah.
But they have a big birthday party and a cake and lots of activities.
And a lot of these turtles can live.
They live
a couple hundred years.
Time,
yeah.
A long time.
So,
But yeah. He's not.
Lieutenant Burton's taking her kids.
He's not a turtle you want to get near.
No.
Alligator.
He's a snapping turtle.
Yeah.
You
do not want to get involved.
Keep the kids well back from the proceedings. But this is Saturday at Maj, 10 a.m. to 2. They're going to celebrate the 50th birthday of their unofficial mascot, Tonka. That's
and
cool.
You don't even know. I am shocked.
I learned something today.
Well, good. Then my job here is done.
Yes, you are done. The Suns play Thursday through Monday, a summer movie classic series at Florida Theater screens Hook with Robin Williams. Oh, that's cool,
25th anniversary. How old do you feel?
That is horrifying.
I hate when they say
that. That is just not
right. And the guy earlier who said, well, I'm middle-aged. Well, I'm 40. I was like, ugh.
He's a baby.
You have to say that, sir. What does that make me?
It makes you the spectator, the superhero with your own comic book.
Yeah, that's me.
Go to thespectator.com for a list of all of your favorite weekend events.
It's been a pleasure and an inconvenience.
As always. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher with video on demand segments at tvjax.com. Next on Diane Reams, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg under fire for speaking her mind about Donald Trump. The implications of a Supreme Court justice entering the political fray. That conversation's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow and host a special conversation for the full hour with Duval County Sheriff Mike Williams. That's tomorrow. See you then.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.